I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
And joining us on the line right now is Dr. Zudi Jasser, author of A Battle for the Soul of Islam, an American Muslim's Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. We really appreciate you joining us here this morning as we try to make sense of the horrific events in Nice, France, carried out by a man who is described as a 31-year-old French citizen of Tunisian descent. Before we get into that, I just got to play this little cut from you from Newt Gingrich, who was talking about what needs to happen in the wake of these attacks and how America and other countries need to shore up and prepare and fight what they consider to be radical Islam. Listen very carefully.
And let me be as blunt and as direct as I can be. Western civilization is in a war. We should, frankly, test every person from here who is of a Muslim background, and if they believe in Sharia, they should be deported. Sharia is incompatible with Western civilization. Modern Muslims who have given up Sharia, glad to have them as citizens, perfectly happy to have them next door. But we need to be fairly relentless about defining who our enemies are.
All right, Dr. Jasser, is that something we can do?
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be back with you. You know, it's amazing. We spent 15 years not even talking about Sharia, not even talking about Salafism and ideology. And then when sometimes we do, we way overshoot. And, you know, listen, we should have a test for those coming into this country. It's not a right to come in. It's a privilege. So for immigrants, we should vet against Islamism, against those who believe in the underpinnings of the Islamic State. And as Newt was saying, it's related to the Sharia state. So for all those waiting for the Saudis and Qataris and others to condemn this, they might condemn the act, but the bottom line is their states are run by the same supremacism of that type of Islamic law that dehumanizes those who are not Muslim and looks upon them as bugs the way this radical in the truck did. But at the end of the day, to say that we're going to deport citizens of America simply based on a test is not only un-American, it would push the ideas that we're trying to expose underground. And if you learn anything from Egypt, from Saudi Arabia, from Turkey, from these cauldrons, is that the terror states, the states that use non-democratic ways to defeat the underbelly, which is political Islam, actually causes them to thrive. And as in Egypt, they end up winning elections. And there was nothing that diffused the ideology of the Brotherhood more than when they actually got in the public light and ran government for a few years. And next thing you know, you had 10 million people protesting them. Hmm. So, you know, to say that when we in a country that has a Nazi party operating, a communist party operating, as long as our citizens aren't openly preaching violence against other individuals, our country has said that, you know, hate speech is actually something that we detest, but we don't outlaw it because it's the only way to vet it and to see it publicly rather than pushing it underground.
Our guest is Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's the president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy and also a former lieutenant commander in the United States Navy. And I just want to draw your attention to the last part of Speaker Gingrich's statement here. He says, modern Muslims who have given up Sharia, glad to have them as citizens, perfectly happy to have them next door. I consider you a modern Muslim. I think that would be a good way to describe you. You're pushing for reform in Islam. And by the way, I'd be happy to have you as a neighbor. Can you tell me, though, and explain to me the aspect of Sharia and how it is incorporated in the Islamic faith? Because from much of my study, I have learned, or I believe, that it is impossible to completely, quote-unquote, give up Sharia if you're a Muslim. Isn't Sharia part of the faith?
Well, you know, listen, in my book I talk about the fact that, you know, 90-some percent of my identity as a Muslim was solidified by the values that I learned from my parents, which all of you would consider our Judeo-Christian values of honesty, integrity. And, you know, I was 16, 17 until I started to really understand the Quran, and into my 20s before I could start doing scriptural exegesis to look at Sharia law in the textbooks and realize that there was a huge dichotomy between the reformed Islam that we're taught by living in post-Enlightenment communities like America versus pre-Enlightenment countries like Syria and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, which, you know, there's two evils that we're fighting here, and your listeners need to understand the fact that Islam is in its time in history that Christianity was in the 15th, 16th century. So it's not just the terrorism, which is a symptom that's a problem, but it's the fact that we have not had our our Constitution of 1776 or 1789, in which we did render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God. So, you know, if you were living in Europe in the 12th century, you may say, well, can Christianity do that? And ultimately, it took some revolutions until it did. But there are two enemies here. One is not only the Sharia state, but the other is these dictators. My family in Syria, where Assad claims to be anti-terrorism, and he's created Syria into basically a cauldron of genocidal actions by his government that's brewing ISISes of the world. So you can't get rid of ISIS without also getting rid of Assad. So these dual enemies, we have to have a long strategy where we say, you know, there has to be a third pathway, and we need to work with our allies, like in Iran, the Green Revolution, in Egypt, the liberals that went to the streets against not only Mubarak, but against the Brotherhood. So there is a way to do this if we just have a long vision rather than this whack-a-mole program. And Sharia is basically, yes, it is enmeshed in the legalisms of the religion right now, but most Muslims, I think, especially those here in America, reject those legalisms.
Would it be helpful to have a president who would call it what many people think it really is, radical Islam?
Absolutely. And you know why this naming is so important? You know, I'm a physician in my day job, and, you know, how would you imagine ever seeing your doctor and him giving you medicine and treating something without diagnosing it? So, and not only that, we actually end up being bigoted towards Muslims by not allowing them to separate and define who are the theocrats versus those who believe in our liberal secular values. And this is the problem, is that you can't hold our homeland security accountable to the Omar Mateens of the world of Orlando or this a truck driver that was a radical. You can't hold them accountable to finding them unless we start talking about what are the precursors. And right now, the Homeland Security material was cleansed of words like Salafism or Wahhabism. These are fundamentalist ideologies that are supremacist, theocratic mentalities that are much more than simply terrorism. And all right now we're doing is waiting for them to don a vest or get in a car and start driving erratically to when we can start looking for them. And that is just surrender. That's absurd. So we have to call it what it is so that we enable Homeland Security to start following those theocratic precursors.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Dr. Zudi Jasser, it's a great privilege to have you here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.